God feeds hungry people. And one of the reasons that we do not know God is we're not hungry yet.
Dr. Tony Evans says our spiritual appetites have been dulled by substitutes that can't possibly satisfy us.
As long as we are satisfied, we won't cry out for the real thing.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. Making hunger pains go away and actually being nourished are two different things. Let's join Dr. Evans as he explains why there's no substitute for the satisfaction that comes from really knowing God.
On Sundays throughout the year, and particularly during Family Worship Sunday, there will be small babies that are in the sanctuary. Either they're too young to go to nursery, or the mother, because of the age, wants the child with them. And at certain points throughout the service, a child, you will hear them begin to whimper or to make certain kinds of noises where discomfort is setting in, and the mother or the father will whip out a pacifier. The pacifier will be put in the mouth of the baby to quiet the baby down through the use of a lie. A pacifier is fundamentally a lie. It is designed to give the impression that you're feeding on something, that you are receiving something. It is an artificial replacement of the real thing, designed to keep the baby at bay until the service is over. I got one starting up over here. To keep the baby at bay so that there is no disturbance. And so it pacifies them. It quiets them down because it appears that they're getting something that they are not getting. But after a while, a baby will wise up. It will become clear after a while, mama is messing with me. There's no food here. There's no milk here. This is just me sucking away, getting nothing. For a while, being pacified works. For a while, it seems like I'm getting somewhere, until the baby discovers I'm merely going through the motions, but I'm still hungry. I'm unsatisfied. When that begins to happen, the baby will begin to reject pacification. The baby will begin to reject going through the motions. The baby will begin to reject being lied to by my mama and my daddy. And then the baby will turn this mama out. The baby will begin to squirm more and cry louder because it will be tired of fake food. He or she will be tired of fake nutrition and fake nourishment and fake milk, and they will want the real thing. Many people, Sunday after Sunday, come to church to be pacified. They want enough to make them feel like they've gotten something, only to discover all week long they're still hungry. So they'll show back up to get some more pacification, a service, a song, a sermon, only to discover they're still hungry. They've got something that gave the impression it was the real thing, but they're still unsatisfied. Something is still missing. They do not sense that there has been nutritional value instilled in them that goes beyond the suckling moment. Let me suggest this to you. As long as we are satisfied with pacifiers, we won't cry out for the real thing. As long as I can get by on what's not real because it seems like it is real, I won't get real. Unless I become like the baby, as a newborn babe, the Bible says, that rejects pacification, that rejects a pacifier, that rejects just religious ritual ceremony and going through the motions. And unless I scream out, I am hungry for you, then we will be satisfied with being pacified. So the question that we've got to raise is, are you hungry yet? Not for religion, not for programs, not for ceremonies. Are you hungry for experiencing the true and living God? One thing is for sure. God feeds hungry people. And one of the reasons that we do not know God is we're not hungry yet. We're satisfied to be pacified. One of the great hungry people in Scripture is the Apostle Paul. From prison, he writes the book of Philippians. From a prison cell, his message in the book of Philippians is, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. His circumstances aren't joyful. His situation isn't pleasing. He's not in the best scenario. He's financially struggling. That's why he thanks them for the financial gift he sent them, being incarcerated under house arrest. He's struggling with being alone. Nobody to keep him company in jail. He's burdened for how things are going with the other Christians at the church at Philippi. He's got all these negative things going on in his life, and he writes the book, Rejoice in the Lord Always. And again, I say rejoice. In other words, his circumstances, although negative, were not controlling his well-being. He writes in chapter 3, relative to our theme of knowing God. In verse 8, he talks about the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. The first phrase of verse 10, that I may know him. He was hungry. Because when life is not working, you don't need a pacifier. When you're living a lonely life, you don't need a pacifier. When you are struggling with the realities of day-to-day living, you need the true and living God. He said, I want to know Christ Jesus. Our theme is knowing God, yet he says, I want to know him, referring to Christ. The reason he wants to know Christ is your direct route to God. Let's put it this way, he's your shortcut. Religion is the long way around. In fact, it'll never get you to your destination. That's why you can go to church for years and be no closer to God. Jesus Christ is your shortcut. You can be a Christian and in church and not know God. For example, let me read to you what Jesus said to Philip in John 14. I'll come right back here to Philippians. But what Jesus said to Philip in John 14. Philip has said to Jesus in verse 8 of John 14, Lord, show us the Father. It is enough for us. We want to see God. Jesus said to him, verse 9, have I been with you for this long and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? Philip said, I want to see God. Jesus says, have you been with me this long and you still don't get it? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why is that the case? Because Jesus says in verse 6, I am the way, My job is to bring you to the Father. If you go back to John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. Verse 18, he was the only begotten of the Father, whose job it is to explain the Father. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 says Jesus Christ is the exact image of the invisible God. To put it in everyday language, Jesus is God with skin on. So that way, the invisible God is visible and you can relate to him as a human being because God became a man, so that which you cannot see can be seen and you can relate to him through him. So Paul says, you know what? I want to know God, so let me get to know Jesus, because he is the way, the shortcut, the direct route to God. In the Old Testament, you had all these symbols. You had the tabernacle, and you had the cloud, and you had the fire, and you had all of these symbols and manifestations of God and theophanies and all of the ways that God would indicate his presence. But today, since Jesus Christ has entered into human history, now God can be related to because he has skin on. Paul says, I want to get to know God, and I want to get to know God by getting to know Jesus, because he can get me there quickly. I want to know him.
When Dr. Evans continues our message in just a moment, he'll give us an example of how that relationship connects us with Christ. First, though, Tony has just completed a book that makes a perfect follow-up for what he's been teaching us today. It's called The Power of Knowing God. God wants you to be more than just his acquaintance, his student, or his fan. And this life-changing book will inspire you to allow God to transform you from the inside out. It not only emphasizes the importance of drawing closer to God, but it'll teach you how to actually do that. Request the book today, and it's yours as our thank you gift when you make a generous contribution to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. If you do that right away, we'll add a whole collection of special bonuses, including the interactive study guide and companion DVD with custom content from Tony. You'll also get all 8 full-length messages in Tony's current series, Knowing God, both on CD and digital download. Visit us before time runs out at tonyevans.org, where you can get the details and make your request online. Or call 1-800-800-3222. Members of our resource team are there 24/7 to help you in person. That's 1-800-800-3222. I'll have that contact information for you once again after part 2 of today's message and this.
That was a book from the heart where I deal directly with the race issue.
Dr. Tony Evans talks about oneness embraced. A look at why bridging the racial gap isn't about overlooking our differences, but making the most of them.
God is calling his people together in order to advance his kingdom, and that must happen intentionally. The churches are going to have to take the lead to model the kingdom of God.
Oneness Embraced, the biblical prescription for racial reconciliation. Available now at tonyevans.org.
A soldier one day was sitting outside of the White House, crying, weeping uncontrollably. A little boy saw him weeping and said, "Sir, what's wrong?" He said, I was hoping I could get to see Abraham Lincoln. We've got this devastating situation, and only the president can deliver me, but they won't let me in. The little boy took the soldier's hand and said, "Come with me." He walked by the sentry at the gate. Undenied, he walked into the White House. He went into the Oval Office. And he said, "Dad, this soldier needs to talk to you." Sometimes you feel like you can't get to God. I can't see him. I can't feel him. I can't touch him. And he's way out there. But his son can get you to bypass all the religious stuff that keeps you from God. Because some of us can't get to God because too much religion is in the way, pacifying us. says in verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I counted loss for the sake of Christ. Paul had achieved in life. You would call him in his day a successful man. He gives the litany of his pedigree and resume. He says, verse 5, I was circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. That means a super Jew. As to the law, I reached the top of the line. I was a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, I was found blameless. To put it in everyday language, Paul is saying, I had it going on. I was the bomb. But one day on the Damascus Road, a light shone down from heaven and said, Saul, Saul, why persecute thou me? And on that day, he counted everything he had achieved in life as loss. Everything men would applaud, everything that people would congratulate, everything that would make him in society look like a successful man, on that day, he bowed his knee to Jesus Christ and became a nobody. And he got saved. At the point of the gospel message, until a man or woman will acknowledge that they are sinners before God, they cannot be saved. Most people are too good to go to heaven. They're too good. They will tell you all the good stuff they've done, all the commandments that they've kept, all the people that they've helped. They will tell you how good they are, therefore God should accept them, not understanding that those things that you count as gain, the compliments, the congratulations, the thing that makes you somebody in the eyes of other people, in order to meet God, you must consider them as loss. They're of no value in heaven. That's money you can't spend up there. A man must come to God as a sinner in order to get a savior. If you are a Christian, it's because one day you saw your sin, you acknowledged that there was nothing you could do to save yourself, and you placed your eternal destiny in the hands of Jesus Christ. If you're saved today, that's what you've done. And if you haven't done that, you're not saved, no matter how good you are. But now, having become a Christian, how do I get to know him? On the day you become a Christian, you meet him. But there are plenty of people you have met whom you have not yet come to know. See, you can hang out around Jesus and not know him. In verse 7, he says, I counted. In verse 8, he says, I count. Please notice what he just did. He changed tenses. In verse 7, he's talking about what he did on the Damascus Road on the day he got saved, which is what I just described. But in verse 8, he drops the ED. He is not saying, I counted. He says, I am continually counting. In other words, the same attitude that I had about my goodness, my self-achievement, my self-sufficiency, on the day I got saved that got me to meet God is the same attitude I'm carrying as a Christian so that I get to know him. Christians often switch attitudes. We are sinners unable to save ourselves before conversion, but then we make ourselves religious enough to look like we know God after conversion. Paul says, I ongoingly count all things to be lost. In fact, he goes on to say, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, junk, trash. Let me give you another word, manure. When is the last time you've seen somebody studying manure, bragging on manure? saying, isn't that manure great? Isn't that dung satisfying? Have you ever seen anybody cherishing manure? If you saw somebody cherishing manure, you would say something is wrong with them. If they were cherishing manure, because you know that that's waste. Here it is. He says, you can't gain Christ and cherish rubbish. You can't cherish human achievement and gain the knowledge of Christ, which gives you the knowledge of God. You can't make a big deal of what people make a big deal of and think God is making a big deal of it too. You may be great on your job. You may be awesome with your personality. You may have achieved great heights with your monetary bank account. That does not give you clout in heaven. Nor does that give God a reason to applaud you. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with achieving. He's not saying that. He's saying when it comes to knowing God, though, those things are not the criteria God uses. What makes you big time among men may be making you small time among God.
As we've been learning, there's a big difference between knowing about the Lord and actually knowing Him. If you're ready to make that leap from information to intimacy, it starts by having a real relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Tony wants to help you understand what that means and how it can happen for you today. Just visit TonyEvans.org and follow the link that says Jesus. There, he'll talk about how that connection happens and how you can be 100% sure about your eternal future. So drop by TonyEvans.org today and check it out. And while you're there, be sure to check out that powerful collection of resources I mentioned earlier that'll give you both the desire and the direction you need to follow life's greatest pursuit and experience the transformation it brings. It starts with Tony's brand new book, The Power of Knowing God, and includes the interactive study guide and companion DVD full of custom content from Tony, plus all 8 full-length messages on CD and digital download from his current series, Knowing God. All yours with our thanks when you make a donation to keep this listener-supported program on the air. But this special offer won't last, so don't wait. Visit TonyEvans.org today or reach out to our Resource Center at 1-800-800-3222, where team members are always on hand to help you. That's 1-800-800-3222. As the old saying goes, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Be sure to join us on Monday as Dr. Evans tells us more about how really knowing God changes us from the inside out. But right now, he's back with his closing prayer.
I want to take a moment and pray for those who are struggling right now, listeners who are going through difficult times and who need God's special grace, mercy, or comfort in light of the challenges you're facing. Let's pray. Father, right now, I want to pray for my brothers and sisters who are hurting in some way right now, who are going through something in their personal life or family life, or just struggling with life in general, and who need the comfort of God, the provision of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God to sustain them during this time of trial or difficulty. May you comfort them with comfort that blows their mind. Will you show that grace is all sufficient for wherever they are and for whatever they need? And may the encouragement that comes from the Holy Spirit ease their pain, lower their stress, and give them the ability to get up and keep going until their change comes. And we pray their change will come sooner than later, and that they will experience you and be able to say like Job, they've heard about you with the hearing of the ear, but now they've seen you with their own eyes. And we pray this in the name of the risen Christ, Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.